Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Daryl White and Jeremy Vest. Got something to say? Then crack open a cold one and leave us a message on the 24/7 Drunk Dial voicemail line at 702-530-5564. Enjoy the show and remember, friends don't let friends trade drunk.
All right, what's going on, buddy? Rolling into week four here, huh?
We are. It's hard to believe. It's kind of, I guess after week four, it's almost a quarter of the way through the season, even though it's 18 weeks total these days. But
yeah, but then there's a bye for like, and then you subtract like a week usually or two for fantasy championships. So
yeah,
quarter way, just general. I don't know. Most of my teams, I'm just kind of like, meh. So this is kind of where I'm at right now. So I've got one undefeated team, but I think that maybe ends this week. So we will see. Hopefully not. We're just going to basically go through some of the normal stuff, some injury news, Dynasty 12 pack, our Liquid Courage and Whiskey Dicks, and two little trades and a little bit of the last call. So we usually talk quite a bit anyway, so at least we have more written down this time.
Yeah. By the time we get to last call, everyone's tuned out anyway, so we can just do whatever we want.
Exactly. We'll go ahead and start. Today, I already told you this, but I just had the Dominguez Sour in the fridge from last time. Just really hadn't had a chance to get anything else. So, but what about you? What are you drinking today?
I got the Birdsong Brewing Company Jalapeno Pale Ale. I've had this a couple times before and kind of become one of my favorites, actually. It's pretty good. And a little Woodford Double Oat, because still riding the bourbon country wave that I was on a couple weeks
ago. Hell yeah. All right. That's good. This week's Take a Shot, and I'm thinking even the episode name is gonna be Too Early for Tua. That's what I came up with. Yeah. I don't know, I just like that one, unless you got something better. But anyways, it's gonna be Concussion Protocol, because we're gonna hear all about this. I don't know about you, but even against the Bills, he looked like he came up the off concussed, and I was like, how did he come back into this game? And like back spasms, like that is not a back spasm. Like the way he got up off the field and then played 4 days later, man.
Stumbling. And well, he played 20 minutes later in like real time there, but maybe not real time, but I mean, it could have been more than 20 minutes. But yeah, but you know, they have a third party doctor look at these guys. He had to pass some tests to get back in. And
well, yeah, okay, so it's independent, but is it independent from the NFL? Is like team paid? I don't know the actual details of that, but you know, and the only thing I know of, and as far as like being evaluated for head trauma, was pre and post deployment, and it's I don't know if this is what they're doing, but you know, it's basically just kind of almost like a reaction test, so. You know, if you're coached up to go slower on the test to pass in the event of concussion, I'm not saying that's what happened, but, you know, I'm just trying to think of like some way, you know, that he could have passed and actually been concussed. So, you know, that's how they were doing it. You know, your kind of reaction times. I thought they, you know, maybe these guys do something with dark rooms.
Well, now, I know the NFL, like AJ Hawk was talking about this today on McAfee show. They do like a baseline. So when you're completely healthy, they bring you in and they do all these tests with you. And then that's what they base all these concussion tests on when they're like worried that you have a concussion. So,
and that's kind of what I was thinking, right? I know the exact details, but yeah, it kind of sounds like exactly what I did. Right. It's just, yeah, it seems like it's potentially cheatable, you know, Not that happened, but yeah.
it's a bad look, especially the way he looked on the field versus the Bills. But he came out and won that game. Like I can't imagine if you have a severe concussion, you can come out and win a football game and throw.
Well, yeah. It was one of those cases where he was got hit, got doozy. And we've all done that before. You get hit, you're a little doozy, and then you're like, oh, I'm good. Oh, yeah. Right. So, but the way his head bounced on that too, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you've ever hit the back of your head on the ground, that's never a good feeling. Like these NFL players always talk about getting your bell rung. Like as soon as, like even a soft hit on grass, like the back of your head is never a good thing. Like it's terrible.
No, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Just even looking at the hit, it was like, of course that's a concussion. And then what he did after. So sucks for him, quite honestly. And obviously hoping the best, but I feel like there's some foul play here, unfortunately.
Yeah, the interesting thing is going to be like how fast he comes back. And I think no matter how fast he comes back, there's going to be like all this
scrutiny. Yeah. Well, they were like, oh yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's going to be our quarterback if Tua can't come back. You know, it's like, what do you mean if? Like, I don't know if he should. Like, not at least. Let him sit. Like, I know it's a long week, but like, give him one break. I mean, you already lost your game, so you're not really. I think
at this point they have to sit him at least a week.
Exactly. Yeah, one game out. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. This is our weekly call, and I got to say though, I looked at some trades that maybe not necessarily help him out. I mean, it would help him, of course, but you know, it looked like I could have done something to help him out, but he sounds a little dejected in this week's voicemail, though, to be honest.
Hey, Drunk. Hey, Dean, again. Week 3, 0-3. Doesn't look too bright for the rest of the season, but we still got hope. We're going to make some changes. We fired our head coach this week. Adam Gase will be the interim, but I don't have high hopes for that either. So 0-4, here we come. See y'all next week.
Yeah, Adam Gase is your interim head coach. Yeah, you're probably going 0-4. Yeah, so done. Sorry, done, buddy. So, yeah.
Thanks for actually making a phone call and leaving an actual voicemail this week, Aiden.
Yeah.
Why don't you keep the guys you picked up on waivers?
Yeah. Not that we'll get into that later, but no, it's funny. I mean. His team is so bad though. Like we thought like it was just going to be maybe someone a couple times
it's going to be the same guy. Yeah.
That's so awesome though. But, if we do it, pull him in to all leagues, we could have a whole like pretty good segment on that, but almost a separate show. So, but.
Pour one out. This one's for my homies.
Yeah, we haven't used this one, but run me down on these injuries here, Jeremy.
Yeah, shed a tear for Amon-Ra St. Brown. His ankle injury is going to keep him out. And I know we talked about the prop bet on him last week was 6.5 receptions. He didn't get it. And I guess that's why it's a record. Like 8 receptions in 8 straight games. So, he's going to be out. DeAndre Swift, shoulder, is going to be out. Keenan Allen, out again as a hamstring. Mac Jones, ankle, out. Jameis Winston, back injury, out. Michael Thomas, toe, out. And just wanted to note, he's out for 2 years, and then he lasts 3 weeks. So this is not a good sign for Michael Thomas' health. Hunter Renfro, concussion, still out. Not good for him.
Wow, out 2 weeks? Wow.
Yeah. it's amazing.
Yeah.
David Montgomery, ankle and knee, out. Cue up Herbert. Kadarius Toney, hamstring, out. Wandell Robinson, knee, still out. Hasn't played yet. I'm about done with Kadarius, honestly. AJ Green, knee, out. CMC, quad, questionable. Sounds like the wrong side of questionable. Kind of, here we go with this guy again.
I benched him in a league. Soft tissue injuries. It's weird benching. Yeah.
James Conner is going to play. J.K. Dobbins is going to play. Michael Gallup going to play. And breaking news, David Bakhtiari is officially off the injury report. So apparently he's 100%. So
very nice.
Let's go.
Today was his birthday. So happy birthday. Happy
birthday,
David. Yeah, that's awesome.
Dynasty 12 pack.
All right.
Forgot what color I had to push. All right. Start us off. Another great work here on a 12 pack. I threw in some notes here. So see, I'm being interested to see with my notes, like before I read them off, where you think I'm going with this argument.
All right. First up, we got Lamar Jackson leads the NFL in passer rating with a 119 and passing touchdowns with a 10. He is also third in rushing yards in the NFL with, and that's including our running backs. He is QB1 on the season. And if you subtract his rushing stats, he's QB5 still. So there was like a list of quarterbacks and he was one. And it was like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I can't remember who the fourth guy was. And then Lamar Jackson without rushing. So,
yes,
but he's been great. He's been great. And he has Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews, and that's about it. And no running game to speak of, with Dobbins still kind of coming back from that injury. So I see you have a couple things here.
Yeah, just a couple things here. 26th in pass attempts and 27th team pass plays, so not passing the ball. Pretty much on the same pace as last year, about 1.5 passes less per game, but that's about it. And everybody saw that as like a crazy passing game or passing year for him. Like they didn't run the ball. Guess what? Not really running the ball at all this year either. So the only thing I really will say here is he is doing a lot of this and doing pretty well. Of course, he had a lot of like nice stats. His ADOT stuff like that was all great. But 50% of his points are TDs. So I would like obviously a better mixture. Everything else, I think it was like 23 and 24 or something with passing yards and rushing yards. But that helps, right? TDs are like the big point getter here in fantasy. So
get from this is he's wildly efficient right now.
Yes, he is. Exactly. I mean, he is wildly efficient.
That was the big news this offseason. He's working on his throwing and all that and. Sure. He's obviously worked on the throwing and the rushing has not left. So until he falters, I wouldn't bet against the guy.
The only thing I have, do you think the Ravens pay him or do you think he leaves?
I think they got to pay him.
Yeah. I mean, he's about to get a fat contract.
Yeah.
I mean, he keeps this whole season.
He's got an MVP season going right now. He keeps it going and he's a franchise quarterback to me. For sure.
Yep. Barring, like crazy injury that hampers him in the running. But yeah, totally.
Yeah, Trevor.
All right.
Yeah, next up, yep. Trevor Lawrence, currently QB10 on the season. He's 70 for 111 with 772 yards, 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. You got some stats on the wide receivers and.
Yeah, his wide receivers have the third best separation in the league, so that's pretty nice, right? They're getting open, and the little negative here is I'm doing that positive negative thing. You know, they tell you to do with counseling, but only 2 games in his NFL career with 300 plus yards so far. So obviously played all last season, and I don't think any has had one this year. So, that's I think what's currently at least keeping his ceiling down. 10 is good, but I think this is potentially around the high. But he did go 1 touchdown, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. So I'm kind of going to call 4 touchdowns this week just to keep the streak,
Their defense has played lights out so far this year too. So that could be a reason why the yards are down a bit. Why another piece of this offense is, or a couple other pieces of this offense are doing great right now.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk came in. Robinson's looking good. No one expected that, obviously. Etienne's playing well enough. So, yeah, they're surprising. I don't think they're a good team, but it's surprising.
Yeah. Old Doug Peterson just working his magic down there.
Yeah, that made it like 1 year in Philadelphia too. So
all you need is 1 year, man.
That's true. That's it.
Yeah. Number three, top 10 wide receivers in PPR points per game. Going to drown you in stats right here. 28.5 Diggs, 27.3 Cup, 24.4 the Sun God, who was sadly hurt. 24.3 Waddle. It's going to go down. He didn't put up like a single digit performance last night. 21.8 Hill, 21.2 Michael Pittman, 20.9 Christian Kirk, who we talked about just a second ago. He's been awesome. 19.1 Curtis Samuel. He's led the Commanders in targets every game so far this season. 19.0 AJ Brown. He has been out targeted by Devonta Smith the last two games. Devonta Smith's looked great last two games, honestly. And Hollywood Brown with 18.4 PPR points per game. Anything you want to elaborate on
here? Brown kind of surprises me here. And what else kind of surprised me? Waddle and Hill being kind of right there. I really didn't think both could be supported. I wasn't a Tua believer. I'm still not, but
probably shouldn't be now.
Not for the next 2 weeks at least, but I'm also like Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, you know, those for you, Curtis Samuel, you're kind of always on that, you know. So some of these guys finally coming through.
Yeah, you know, I want to see Samuel keep leading those targets as long as he's healthy. Just stay healthy, man.
Yep.
Hollywood, I will say, everyone's got to remember that DeAndre Hopkins coming back in 4 weeks. So,
yep,
that could all come to an end. Number four, Chris Olave. Just wanted to put a spotlight on this guy. I know we talked about his air yards last week, and it just continued this past week. So the last 2 weeks, he has 603 air yards. That leads the NFL, and there's only one other receiver with over 400 air yards.
Yeah, so he's like double, or not, I think I was 200 above or whatever, basically. Yeah. But that's crazy.
13 targets and 80 plus yards in back-to-back games. 268 yards is the 10th most all-time for a rookie through 3 weeks. His target shares, week one, 9.4. Week two, 32.5. Week three, 33.3. Michael Thomas out now. I mean, you got Andy Dalton back there, but we all know that it's like the red rifle. I mean, he can sling the ball.
Yeah, man. He got that name for a reason. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
on pace for 1,518 yards. And I know you had like a little item in here.
Yeah, just real quick, just to cap off is like how hit. Ridiculous he could be. He has the most unrealized air yards in the league. And I wanted to figure out why. Was he initially I was like, is he dropping balls? Like, you know? And then I looked, he has the 86th best or the worst, whatever how you want to say, target accuracy. So like he's not getting accurate targets. So I feel like a lot of that's not on him. So
it sounds like Winston's airmailing him on all like a lot of balls.
Definitely some shots. So, if you could bump that down into the 40 range, you're probably looking at another. I think his unrealized were another about 200 yards or something. So I mean, you could add another 200 yards to potentially or 100 yards, we'll say. To his total, so
I got an offer this week. Olave, like for my Olave, someone wanted to send me McLaurin, and I was like, nope, not gonna do it.
Yeah, I just pulled Olave up off my taxi squad in the league where I'm 1-2 or 2-1 or something. It's like, all right, well, I might as well just throw him in. Yeah. Like it's especially on our sleeper leagues. Like there's almost no reason to have a taxi squad because. Like you don't need to worry about cap hits or anything unless you just have such a stacked bench. But 90% of the time I don't, I have like five spots open. Right. So it's like no point really.
Yeah, with the target share he's getting right now, and he's producing. So I mean, why not play him?
Exactly.
Actually, I was trying to think of like what wide receiver where like where I would draw the line at like for a trade, and Teach actually kind of he sent me like it was like a Olave plus some like lesser pieces for DJ Moore, and I was like, no, I really don't want to do that right now. Even if it's like a rebuilding team, but I would rather have the young Olave to, I mean, I know DJ Moore is like 25, 26. I still don't want to, I wouldn't move him for that.
Yeah. It's not looking great for his long-term outlooks, and it's not nothing on him. It's just the team personally. So
no, I mean, you got Baker there. Who's probably not going to be there for 1 year. Matt Rule.
Probably gone.
I mean, he's probably gone, but then you got a new coach, which could be good or bad. So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, number five, Romeo Doubs led the Packers last week with 25% target share and a 21.3 PPR points.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Man, we all love seeing that. I mean, I sent Doubs in a couple leagues, and I'm really pissed off about that right now. But the leagues I kept him, which is quite a few, I feel pretty like really good about for sure.
Nice. Yeah, I've still got him sitting in some taxi spots, and I'll probably just leave him there just for a little bit, just because. But I feel like as soon as I bring him out of the taxi, I'll have to start him.
Right.
Yeah, but. But big question here, you know, got to go with the talking heads on this, but did he earn Aaron Rodgers' trust? You know,
I think he did. I mean, I listened to the McAfee show, the Aaron Rodgers Tuesday every week. And sounds like he did. Sounds like he Aaron Rodgers was impressed. So.
All right.
Yeah.
But now we get to Christian Watson up to speed and,
sky's the limit, man.
Yep.
Number six, Treylon Burks had only a 7.7% target share week three, but ran most routes of any Titan. So he's getting the opportunities. He's just not seeing the targets. I don't know. I know Derrick Henry had kind of a big week last week, so maybe that had.
Did I call it?
You did.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to go back to my. I know. Like I chose McLaurin to not have a good week. I think he had a pretty good week, so I was wrong on that one for sure.
Well, yeah, I think we always go like 50-50.
I'm going to go with yes.
You did. You had McLaurin and then Cook, and I had Henry and Packers O, which I lost on that one as well. So,
But yeah, Treylon Burks getting all the opportunity you could want. Yeah, I think it's coming. His breakout is coming for sure. As long as Tannehill can do something.
Yep.
Number seven, top 10 running backs in PPR points per game. Number one, Chubb. Behind him, or right tied with him, is Barkley, 18.8 points per game. J-Rob. And just a couple notes on him. They've had some very positive game scripts so far, so he's been able to just carry the rock for him. But I think they're going to have some tough games going forward, and Etienne, who's been the primary pass catching back for them, is going to eat into that opportunity a little bit. So don't give up on Etienne just yet. CEH, number four. So a couple notes on him, too. Jerick McKinnon has led the Chiefs in snaps all three games, which is kind of surprising because Jerick McKinnon is like 29 years old, kind of a scat back type guy. But apparently they trust him more than they trust CEH still. and CEH ranks 25th in expected points. And I kind of did a little dive on. I mean, I think we've talked about expected points a couple times on. But it's basically. Yeah. The situation that the player touches the ball or gets the ball, what they're expected to get. And it's basically, so he's fourth, the RB4 so far. And he's only expected to be basically the RB 25. So he's capitalizing, overperforming basically. So I think that's going to come back down to earth based on that stat. So could be a sell high type opportunity here. DeAndre Swift, 16.9, Aaron Jones, 16.8, Cordarrelle Patterson, 16.3, Jamal Williams, 15.9, Khalil Herbert, 15.8. Khalil Herbert, number 9.
Yeah.
RB 9. Wow. He scored 30-plus last week. So
that helps,
Jonathan Taylor, 15.6. So Jonathan Taylor's RB 10 so far, and everyone and their mom Jonathan Taylor's RB 1.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, yeah. There might have been some people taking CMC, which now is even maybe worse. So, because I remember hearing that debate all in August was like, would you take CMC or Derrick Henry or Taylor? And I mean, most people went to the Taylor side, but yeah. Aaron Jones quietly always up in the top 10,
Yeah. Can't get rid of him. All the AJ Dillon hype this off season, and he is still carrying the load.
Yeah, as we like to say. Sometimes, I guess.
Every once in a while. Number 8, Khalil Herbert, who we just talked about, scored 30.9 PPR points last Sunday after Montgomery went down. And David Montgomery has never scored that many points. I think his cap is 28.9 or something like that when I look back. You got a couple notes here.
Yeah, Herbert with a fourth most points per opportunity. So that's pretty awesome. So that's kind of what I was, with a lot of these things, I was trying to add maybe a little more context, especially with when we talk about the points per game stuff, right? So this is, per opportunity, which is awesome. And then he's 13 yards per touch. So that's including rushing and receiving. So, I mean, those are all good indications that he potentially be a top 10 back, especially with Montgomery out. So, and that team runs the first or second most in the league. So
yeah, they let Justin Fields pass 7 times against the Packers. So Khalil Herbert, one of those guys that we were drumming the beat to couple years ago or last year of preseason.
Definitely one of our profiles.
We loved him. And that's a fourth most points per opportunity. Sounds like that. It's kind of similar to that expected points. Number 9, running backs with 80% of their team's rushes week 2 and 3. Leonard Fournette, McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, and Damian Pierce. So there's 4 running backs with 80% of their team's rushes, and it's those 4.
I'm kind of surprised Herbert wasn't on there with his performance, but we were all kind of waiting for Pierce, right?
Damian Pierce and Jacobs scream out to me. I just made a trade for Jacobs, so that's going to come up later. But
tough week this week, I think. So. Yeah.
Definitely. Number 10.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Real quick. Yeah. Sorry. Despite Pierce's, usage here, I don't know if it's that offense or not, but I don't feel like he's really, really stepped it up yet. But there was quite that level of hype, and I didn't really believe anyways. So it was I don't know. I don't think he's yet shown anything special.
I agree. And this hype is, basically based on preseason. You can't really base anything off of that. I mean, he's probably going to be the lead running back for Texans at some point.
Yeah.
If he's not already, I think he is already, but we didn't see anything special in our profile, and I'm going to stand by that until we see otherwise.
Well, yeah. And just real quick. Yeah. RB 20, 9.2 points per game. On one hand, he is outperforming Najee at 21, Joe Mixon at 22, Breece Hall at 24, Jacobs on this list at 26. I mean, it's still a little early, but you kind of get what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, he's a RB 20, which I guess isn't worse for a rookie here, but nothing crazy.
It kind of goes along with the terrible draft for running backs. you yep. should have drafted Drake London first. And
whoever you liked after that. Yeah, no, I kind of regret that a little bit too. I took Breece Hall and even Kenneth Walker, like two in some spots. Probably some of my best ones where I took London at two and then waited to like four and I got Walker, you know. Right.
You and a lot of people, and yep. me included. Number 10, running back seen 6+ targets a game. Eckler, 7.3. Breece Hall, 7. And that's a. I mean, I think that's based on his week one 10 target performance, mostly. Javonte Williams, 7. And just wanted to note here, it's kind of surprising, has only played 13 more yeah. snaps than Mike Boone.
Wow.
Yeah. Basically, he was the Vikings RB4 for several years, and now he's with the Broncos and playing 13 less snaps than Javonte Williams. Joe Mixon with 6.6 targets a game, and J.D. McKissick still up there with 6.3. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Javonte Williams. A lot of people drafted, like, you know, up in the RB5 category. 29 right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I went with him for my fourth round pick in Scott Fishbowl, and it's not looking great right now.
Yeah. My fourth round pick, I think, was AJ Brown.
Yeah. But I will say Mixon is this is his best mark ever in his career if he keeps it up. So it's just it hasn't really come to fruition yet, but I mean, he had a pretty good game Thursday night, so hopefully that picks up. Number 11, top 7 tight ends and PPR points per game. Mark Andrews, 21.7. Travis Kelce, 17.4. What happened?
Oh, just like you see, like chunks down.
Yeah, it's basically Andrews and then Kelce and then. This next guy, Tyler Conklin, who I just picked up a league record for free.
Nice.
Zach Ertz, 11.8. Darren Waller, who you can't even rely on anymore. I mean, you don't even have the top three. You have the top two and then everyone else. It's just tight end is a disaster, basically. Hey,
when Andrews and Kelce are gone, this is going to be... At least it'll be an even playing field, I guess.
I think Pitts will get to that level at some point once they get a decent quarterback there. But Goddard with 11.3 and Higbee with 11. Seems like Goddard should be higher, but I guess he's not.
Yeah. Well, like, two things on this. One, like, it's just the Pitts thing. Like, maybe the Falcons should, because, you know, that whole thing about, oh, we're not playing fantasy football, we're trying to win games. Maybe you should play the little fantasy football because your most talented people, like, you know, on your team that can maybe help you win are, like, you know, very high up on the fantasy community. So yeah. I'm not saying that we're, you know, great coaches on that, but
I mean,
the other thing I have. Go ahead.
I was going to say the management there obviously thought Pitts was great. They drafted him very early. He was like the number 4 pick in the draft. Can't remember. It was number 4 or number 6. I can't remember what the hell it was.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not using him because of this. I think the coach is an idiot, but we talked about that.
You got a nice little stat coming up here for him that kind of shows. But the last thing I kind of really had on this is you did top 7 here. This is how easy it is to get in the top 10 of tight ends. So, like, it's, so that's kind of what we always kind of get at. Like, you got your top tier, like, you know, 3-4 guys, depending on how you look at this. And obviously Waller's taking a drop back, but yeah, that drop down in tiers gets significant. And next week there could be 7 other names on here, you know.
Well,
5 other names.
When the Tylers get involved, you know, there's some screwy shit going on. Tyler Conklin and Tyler Higbee, I'm talking to you, but, number 12 in tight end air yard leaders through week 3. Mark Andrews leads with 376. Makes sense. Mark Andrews, number 1 in PPR points per game. Kyle Pitts, nowhere on the list, but he has 283 air yards. Travis Kelce, 213 air yards, 17.4 PPR points per game. Number two, very efficient, apparently. We've all known that. And Darren Waller, 198 air yards. And Pat Freiermuth, who is not on that list, and I will venture to say he will be on that list at the end of the year, 173 air yards.
Yep. I certainly think they'll be within that top seven.
Especially
by end of year. So
the rookie Pickett gets in there because
that's bound to happen.
Quarterbacks like to rely on their tight ends. So
nope, totally agree with this. Yep. I think all these names right here will eventually be on this list. So definitely I think man, it says it doesn't change a little bit with Pitts. He's gonna be backing up the end of this list, and that'll be kind of a disappointment again.
He could be. We always say at least 4 years for tight end. So
yeah, maybe we can be slightly right on this because he did have a great rookie year as far as yardage. But yeah. All right, that's all right. Let's do Liquid Courage and Whiskey Dick of the Week.
Yeah, man. So my Liquid Courage is going to be Jamal Williams, who we know and love from his Green Bay days. He's facing Seattle with no DeAndre Swift, no Sun God. Their defense is basically crappy. Their offense is crappy. So this is a very positive, I'm thinking, top eight running back performance this week for Jamal Williams. And my whiskey dick is going to be Justin Jefferson. I'm thinking, I kind of swung for the fences on this one because I usually just have a layup for these, but
and we still miss. So. Yeah.
Justin Jefferson versus New Orleans. Saints are fifth in pass defense, and Marshawn Lattimore is a very solid cornerback. And they're playing in London, so I don't know how the travel is going to affect them.
That's going to be rough. Last two games here for. I was on the wrong page for Jefferson. 39.4, 10.8, and 4.4 in PPR. Yeah, it was on standard. I was like, how did he get like 1 point? I was so confused. I was like, he had three catches. This doesn't add up. But nice, huge week against us and then fairly quiet. So that's going to be kind of depressing as a Jefferson owner because you're still throwing him in your lineup more than likely. I mean,
you have to.
So. All right. As I kind of started just looking at the matchups, this one just stuck out to me. Denver's, let me start. The Liquid Courage is going to be Javonte Williams here. the Rays are just bad. And on a side note, maybe that's why my ticket sold, but I sold my PSL. So, like, that's awesome. So, somebody actually wanted to buy tickets to a future 0-4 team. So, that's awesome. But so Javonte Williams, I think is gonna go wild here. I think they give up the third most points to fantasy running backs. So hopefully it's him and not Mike Boone this week. And then in this same game, Denver's actually got a pretty good defense. They're pretty good against the run and the pass. And Adams has been quiet, so Davante Adams I think is gonna struggle again. This is like, who didn't see this coming, I guess, as far as just like, maybe this not like working out, new offense, all this stuff. And like this dude's had, Mike McDaniels had this is second stint as a head coach. He didn't do well the first time. So, I'm almost like wondering like, is this just going to be a repeat of history? I think they're going to go 0-4, and Adams is going to suffer this week. So.
Oh man, it's like a rivalry game too because he's playing the team that he coached for before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that was Tebow days, right?
I think there was a portion of it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I like it.
Happy hour.
I wasn't going to do two back to back, but I don't care now.
Yeah, so. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, my I think my one trade for the week. I don't think I sent any more I got a lot of offers this week, but I sent a 23-2-3 for Josh Jacobs and Jordan Mason. I was like, it's a contender. I need a little RB depth, and Josh Jacobs is an RB1, so sure, I'll take that. This was offered to me too, so sure.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't even know who Jordan Mason is.
He's basically the RB2 now for the 49ers.
That makes sense. Why I wouldn't know?
Elijah Mitchell is
I do. Now I vaguely think I remember hearing this name when talking about, 49ers running backs.
I think we talked about him at some point.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's how the 49ers are go, I guess. So yeah, no hate here. So, I got sent some ridiculous offer for, they've sent me Jerome Ford. I told you about this because it came after we finished recording. I was trying to send me Jerome Ford for some like crazy stuff. And I was like, we were going through my team. I was like, I'll send DJ Chark for Ford, like whatever. Like with Amon Ra out, that's me like look stupid. But in that team, I've got such a full bench, like just going for a younger person here that haven't seen necessarily good or bad from yet. That I kind of liked coming out. So I was like, whatever. I don't care. Like, yeah. It's just one of those things. So
last, I didn't know if you had something.
So much damage.
I was like, do you want to comment? But yeah. All right. What do you got for your last calls here? You got quite a bit.
I got
here.
A lot, but I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter at this point. I will say the last thing here I wanted to bring up. So there was a little conversation in one of the league chats that we need a worse punishment for not calling into the drunk dial line, because if you're a shitty team, like the waiver wire doesn't really matter all that much. So.
Yeah, especially in a lot of our leagues. So yeah, that was kind of the only one I really wanted to talk about all this. The rest
could, we should care less about this in all leagues, but. I think a vote would pass in every league that we manage for sure.
Yeah.
For that.
Well, what would be the worst punishment that we could actually like enforce?
They were saying it should be like a end of year thing, but I feel like it has to be a weekly thing for this.
Well,
but obviously Hayden thinks it's a pain in the ass to do. So, I mean, that's enough, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It did not sound fun for him.
I mean, the second week he sent a Rick Roll. So,
yeah. It didn't even burn him down by, through 2 weeks. It took 1 week of doing having to do it. Maybe it's our long voicemail, which we do probably need to redo. So, yeah. But I lost that last recording, but I'm also lazy. But, yeah, I don't know what else we'd do for punishment, quite honestly. And the last year stuff, like especially in these leagues where people just bounce so quickly, those end of year punishments only seem to work in like home leagues that have been going for 15 years. You know, like there's that those types of punishments, but I don't. Yeah,
I feel like a lot of our leagues will eventually migrate to people we know, like. We'll get like guys that drop out, and then we'll get the guys that we usually play with, and they'll
yeah.
But it's build up definitely not to that point now, but it will eventually get there.
Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Until next time, remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team. But we do.